And like one thing you realize is that traditional schooling is like very inefficient.
It's like regurgitating over and over again instead of having like novel ideas.
This is really interesting, and like don't let me, you know, yap for too long about this. But
welcome to Future Titans, where we spotlight remarkable middle and high school entrepreneurs building real businesses that solve real problems. Every founder we speak to has received a $1,000 Formidable Fellowship grant. It's not equity, it's not debt, just a bit of inspiration capital to say keep doing what you're doing. If you're a student entrepreneur, we'd love to support you too. Just visit formidablefellowship.org to apply for a grant. It takes less than 5 minutes. And if you believe in empowering young builders, consider supporting our mission. All contributions are tax deductible. Now on to the conversation. All right. Hey, everybody. I'm super excited to talk today to two co-founders building a really interesting AI application in a market that I didn't even know existed until we met them. And so without further ado, let's jump in and meet Rishi and Timmy.
Sure. I'm Rishi. I go to Morris Hills High School in New Jersey, and I'm a junior in high school. I'm the business and the sales co-founder here at Prilla.
And I'm Timmy. I'm homeschooled, but I do, you know, different online programs. I'm a freshman in high school, and I handle most of the technical stuff. I'm the technical co-founder.
Okay, awesome. So let's start with what Prilla is. Walk us through what this software product is and what does it do and who the customer is.
Yeah, for sure. So we wanted to create AI tools for students to study for DECA and related CTSOs right from their laptop, wherever they are. Because one of the major problems that we see is that a lot of teachers have to hold these after school meetings, and also students have to rely on parents and advisors to help them study for these competitions because they're one-on-one competitions and like presentations with judges. So we kind of wanted to make the entire process of studying very simple that can be done right from your laptop.
So is this like an AI tutor or a AI coach for DECA competitions?
Yeah, so DECA has different events. There's like role plays where you're given a business scenario and you have, you know, 10 minutes to prep and then 10 minutes to respond. And then they have, you know, exams, they have papers. And so we just kind of built a suite of AI tools designed to solve each of the pain points in prepping for the competition. And our goal is to make the ultimate suite of AI tools for DECA and other CTSOs. So, you know, you can study completely from your laptop and get, you know, valuable feedback that in a public school, like maybe 150 students or in a DECA club of 150 students, you wouldn't be able to get.
Okay, amazing. So I think there's probably a lot of folks, including myself, when we saw your guys' application, who had no idea what DECA was. So maybe walk through what this organization is. You also, there was this other acronym, CTSO. You know, what is that? And maybe how did you even discover this area and this need?
Yeah, for sure. So DECA is a CTSO. And so what a CTSO is a career technical student organization. And so these are like clubs and organizations for students to like discover what they want to do in a career pathway down the line. And so DECA is for emerging business leaders and entrepreneurs who really kind of want to go into the areas of finance, marketing, and like those soft skills and, you know, entrepreneurship as well. And yeah, that's basically some of the stuff that I kind of found out when I was first learning about DECA. And I joined when I was in my sophomore year, which was last year for me.
Okay. And so Rishi, you're competing in these competitions that DECA puts on, and that's where sort of you saw the pain point in sort of preparation and things of that sort?
100%, yeah. So one of the main issues for me was that I couldn't find one-on-one time to practice with anybody. And if I was to practice with my parents, I feel like they wouldn't be able to give me as valuable of feedback. You know, with our tool, you're really able to like see what mistakes you're making in terms of like reasoning. And, you know, one of the main parts of DECA role plays are explaining concepts to judges, and you're acting out in a scenario that you can come across in the business world. It's hard to get feedback when your parents aren't as technical or your advisor isn't giving as amazing feedback, right? You can get the same feedback or the same level of feedback, I guess, from Prilla wherever you are in the world.
Okay. Okay. And so how did this this partnership, you know, emerge? You guys aren't going into the same school. So how did you find each other and how did you decide to work together?
So we're both on Twitter and we're both kind of in this community of like teen entrepreneurs who are building, you know, just kind of cool stuff. And so I met Rishi through Twitter after, I think it was, I was looking at our DM history like a couple of days ago. I did this challenge where I built like an entire SaaS tool, like on a plane ride from Bali to Barcelona, because I was flying to Barcelona for the summer. And so I think Rishi DM'd me about that and we started talking. And, you know, eventually I did an interview with him on my YouTube channel. And during that, we just hit it off. We were talking about SaaS. And so, yeah, I mean, around August, you know, Rishi texted me like, I have this startup idea, right? And so we just spent some time talking about this, understanding it. And yeah, we built an MVP pretty fast. So yeah, we met online.
Okay, cool. So, you know, I don't know if most folks would say like, you know, and when did you guys meet? Is this when, Timmy, you were in 8th and Rishi, you were in 10th?
Yeah, around the summertime, yeah.
Okay, okay. So how did you, you know, I don't know, you know, if most 8th and 10th graders are talking about SaaS applications. So how did that interest even start for both of you? Like, where did this interest in technology and innovation and entrepreneurship begin? Parents are entrepreneurs, or did you go to classes where you learned it? Is it YouTube? Curious where this all came from.
So for me, my parents started an internet business in 2009 when I think that might have even been pre-Zoom. Like, they might have been using Skype for meetings. And, you know, since then, probably most of the adults that I interacted with other than teachers have been entrepreneurs. Because, like, I grew up mostly in Bali, and it was just kind of this like, the like, OG, like, internet business cohort. Just all living in Bali, all working on startups. And so, yeah, I have had a lot of exposure to entrepreneurs throughout my life. When I was around, like, I think 8, I got really interested in investing. And so, yeah, I spent a lot of time studying that. I wanted to work in finance, like be a hedge fund manager. And then, you know, later on during COVID, I learned to code. And I really liked that. I got super obsessed. I was coding like every day, like hours a day. And then, you know, I started building like mini applications that people could use online. I think one of the first things I built was I had like an iPad back there. And I wanted something that could like display crypto and stock market prices. And so I wrote that in code. And then, yeah, I mean, I just got interested in SaaS because I really like building software. I just really like building super useful software tools for myself and for other people. And my parents are entrepreneurs. So yeah, I got that, the entrepreneurial spark from them, I guess.
Yeah. And then for me, I guess, I had a YouTube channel. I still have it actually. It's called Investing. And so I would be, you know, kind of doing like weekly overviews about the stock market, also like teaching concepts. So through there, I saw this like post one day. It was about like build space. And so it's like a place where you can build whatever you want and they'll teach you how to kind of scale it. So I really liked that. And so I joined the platform. That's also a place where me and Timmy are mutuals from. And so within build space, I met a lot of people. And one person I met, his name was Harsh. I connected with him and I got an internship at his company, at his software company. So I learned about like the business side and, you know, like the development side and growth side, by working at his startup. And it was a small startup based in India. It was really, really cool working there. And I think I gained a lot of skills that I use right now for, you know, distribution wise and, growing Prilla itself. I learned there. And, you know, after I hit it off with Timmy, that was like the prime time when I was like, you know, learning everything and getting an edge on the growth side. And I think that's kind of where I got my spark.
Okay, amazing. So I want to go back to Prilla, but just for a second, you know, you guys have talked about where you've met up, where you're learning YouTube and in these online communities. I'd love to get both of your perspectives on just school and,
you know, the thing you didn't say is I learned all this in school, right? You know, just your individual observations on, you know, if you could wave a magic wand and change how school works and make it.
I definitely didn't learn any of this from school. I think if one thing I got from school, it would be my competitiveness. But, you know, the skills for entrepreneurship and going down this road is very different from what school teaches you. And it's like it's contrarian. Like, I guess one thing that I would definitely want to change about school would probably be the amount of emphasis that they put on grades is one thing that I really, really despise. It's like grades versus learning. There's like a whole distinction that they're making, and I don't particularly enjoy that, especially because like you can't focus on actually like understanding the concepts. Instead, you're expecting to just take in what the teacher gives you and just spit it right back out. It's like regurgitating over and over again instead of having like novel ideas. And that's like one thing that school is definitely lacking on. And I think maybe more one-on-one time with teachers or smaller class sizes would definitely be a great start.
What about you, Timmy? School, you know, since you're homeschooling, so clearly there was maybe a deficiency that you or your parents saw, but what's your views on maybe traditional school?
Yeah, so I think homeschooling is great because it kind of gives you time to explore more things. And like, I've been homeschooled, I've been, you know, traditionally schooled. And like, one thing you realize is that traditional schooling is like very inefficient, like very, very inefficient. Like you spend a lot of time, you know, commuting back and forth. It's fairly large class sizes in some cases. So yeah, I mean, you really just the amount of like learning per hour you're in school is much, much higher during homeschooling. You know, I think one thing that if I could, you know, wave my magic wand and change something about the way school is done, I think making it mostly project-based would be great, because I think in reality, when you're building something, you're trying to find the most efficient route to like getting the thing you want done, whether that's like building something, distributing something, or all of those things. And I think for that, you kind of need to know that like it's not just about kind of ticking boxes. A lot of it is like eliminating things. And I think in school, you're sort of taught to like answer all of the questions. But I think in the real world, you're kind of starting to see which questions are unnecessary. And yeah, this is the way Elon Musk put it. He's like, it kind of puts you in like a mental straitjacket where you're sort of told to answer all the questions, but maybe some of the questions are dumb. And like, you can't say that to a professor.
Yeah, it's a really great point. Yeah, I think, you know, schools often teach you to use known methods to answer questions with known answers. And then yep. When you get out into the real world, you don't know the method and you don't know the answer. And that's most of the things that you end up having to do out in the proverbial real world. So no, great, great insight. So let's shift back to Prillo, right? So when did you start building this and when did it launch like to the public and where, you know, when you could get customers?
So we started building in August and then we launched in October, just 2 months after. It took us like maybe 6 weeks, I guess, to build the first version. And, you know, in that time, while Timmy was, you know, handling the technical side, I was out there talking to customers and potential customers and seeing what features were the best suited for our platform. I think we did work really fast, and especially because the summertime was when we had all day to keep grinding. You know, now that we have school, it's all about nights and weekends and making sure that you preserve some energy for that time as well. So then we can put as much effort as we can, or as much effort that we have towards, you know, keep building our startup.
Got it. So I want to get into maybe the technical elements a little bit, but before I go there, Rishi, you said you were kind of doing this like market validation, talking to folks. Like, what did that look like? Like, who are you reaching out to? How are you reaching out? You know, I think, and the reason I'm asking is I think there's a bunch of young entrepreneurs who are going to watch this and they're like, they don't know where to start, right? So maybe you have this idea, like, where are you going from there? You know, maybe walk us through the step by step.
Yeah. So for the first thing, there are so many social media platforms that have, you know, specific groups, whether it be, you know, for us, we definitely use Reddit a lot. On Reddit, I mean, it may seem pretty unconventional, you know, like you'll find a high schooler on lurking on Reddit. You probably won't find that often, but they do have an active Reddit subreddit for DECA. And so we went on there. They have a good amount of users, I would say, like in the hundreds or in the thousands. So we reached out to anyone that's been active lately, and we reached out to anyone that had questions, and we would just send them a DM and ask them, are you struggling with X, Y, Z? And we would, I don't know if you've read the mom test, but we kind of like made our questions to like actually understand what the user is like having an issue with, like unrelated from the startup itself. Like it's kind of understanding what issues and what problems they have. And we took that into consideration and used that to build up the features. So we had like a feature list doc going on, and we would just gather all the feedback from surveys, you know, cold DMs, and then we would start putting priority on certain features and then structuring from there.
Okay, awesome. That's great insight. Yeah, the mom test for, you know, young entrepreneurs, especially if you're building in tech, by Rob Fitzpatrick, is like a must-read book, and it's a simple, quick book. You can read it in an hour, so highly recommend. So, Timmy, you get these, you know, we'll call them requirements, right? Like, walk us through maybe how you're building, right? What are you building in? How did you pick the technologies you're using? How do you get a product out in 6 weeks? It's really fast.
Yeah. Sure. And so actually 6 weeks was the time it took us to go to market. That was like the full time from like Rishi calls me the first time to talk about Prillo to like it's available and you can buy it with Stripe. And so the actual MVP was built in less time. So I think this is really interesting, and like, don't let me, you know, yap for too long about this. But I think if we had tried to build Prillo in 2020, what would have taken us like 4 or 5 months. And if we tried to do it, you know, January of this year, would have taken us like 2 to 3 months, because there are so many new AI tools that are really, really useful that helped us build this so quickly. And so the standard that I hold myself to is if I see an AI tool, I try it. Just no matter what, I just drop what I'm doing, I just try it. And that's helped me discover so many useful things. So just a couple examples of that. I think some pretty significant parts of the code were written with AI agents before most people knew what AI agents were. What I usually do is I take the requirements, I figure out how can I build this in a modular way so that I can have AI go and tackle these like smaller tasks, and then I kind of piece it together into this larger solution. So like the flashcards, for example, that was basically built by figuring out how to do that in like a simple way. Just giving my requirements to ChatGPT. ChatGPT turns that into a prompt for an AI agent. And then I put that into the AI agent. I refine it as needed. And then I plug it back into our full code base. And so I think that's pretty interesting. Recently we've been experimenting with Bolt, which is this really amazing AI tool that can generate front ends really quickly. And I actually think, had we known about Bolt, we would have been able to get the MVP out even faster. We're talking like a week kind of time frame, which I know seems insane, but I think the value of software is actually kind of declining compared to the value of just knowing exactly what people need. And so we probably spent more time like talking to users and figuring out exactly what they want than actually just, you know, kind of writing down lines of code.
Okay, that's amazing. I mean, I think, you know, for those listening, this idea that Timmy highlighted of listening or just playing with AI tools is like such a good idea. And, you know, what he underscored is like to take idea to product, like it's probably never been easier in the history of the world, especially digital products, right? So I'm curious on the tools front, you mentioned Bolt. What are the other things, you know, the AI agents for coding, like what have you liked? You know, what's worked? If we give a shout out to some of those.
Yeah, sure. So my, first of all, my like caveat to all this is I think you need to still understand code at this point. I think you should, you know, go learn Python, go learn JavaScript, go learn C
CSS and like all this stuff, and really just kind of get deep in the code by like building a project that you're passionate about. But I think my general method for building stuff today, and this could change in 3 weeks time if a new AI tool comes out that I think has a better strategy. And I always test this, by the way. I think right now the best way to write code is step one, just create all the requirements for it. Step two, create the backend, like the API endpoints. This is basically just, it's not like what you actually see on the screen, but it's like what's kind of going on behind the scenes. So what I would do is I would, you know, just kind of talk to ChatGPT, figure out what the actual way to do this is. Like, you know, what code libraries would you need to use? What other platforms would you need to connect to? Like, you know, OpenAI, Grok, or whatever. So I'd consult ChatGPT. I'd create the prompts for the backend. I'd put it into Replit Agent and have that write it in Python. And try and keep the API endpoints very simple, as simple as possible. Next step, have the AI write the documentation for the API endpoints. And at the same time, you know, write down what kind of features you want on the front end. And just kind of figure out what kind of general style you're looking for. Then I'll go to Bolt, which you can find at bolt.new. And I would, you know, just input the documentation for this API that you've built, as well as the project requirements for the front end. And I'll just put that in there, have it write it in React with Tailwind CSS. And then, you know, you can get an MVP, you can refine it as you want. And my advice for Bolt and for AI agents is just be very patient. And I know it kind of hurts because you like, you don't know if it's going to work necessarily, but I assure you, like, if you just keep prompting, if something breaks, you tell it to fix it and maybe give it some details on how to fix it, it's going to figure it out eventually and in like 1/10 of the time.
Okay, great. So let's shift to maybe the commercial part of Prillo, right? I think when you guys applied, we initially wrote you back saying, hey, it's pre-revenue, and said, you know, come back when you have revenue. And then Rishi responded very quickly saying, no, we're making revenue since we applied. And so walk us through what the commercial model is and maybe how, what's the early traction look like?
Yeah, for sure. So right now we've had like a influx of users come in the last like 2 or 3 days. We had like a couple sales just happen in like a couple hours. So right now we've actually like moved our focus to fully individual. We're also like looking towards schools, but it's very seasonal in terms of like when you can reach out, because schools have, you know, they open up their budgets at some times of the year. So at the moment, the regional competition has already started for DECA. So we're looking to get into contact with schools, but at the moment we're mainly focusing on individual users. They have like a significant demand at their current moment, because we just finished exams for DECA, and then we're going into role plays coming soon at the regional conference. So a lot of students are looking, and so what we've been doing is consistently putting out content. Because now I feel like the biggest thing for SaaS companies especially is having good distribution, because it's so easy to create a tool for any specific niche, right? And Timmy was just highlighting this. Like, you can use Bolt and create, like, you can create a website in seconds, in minutes, right? I think the flashcard feature that Timmy was referencing, he created that before I, like, by the time I finished lunch, he gave me the idea, he DM'd me, and then by the time I was done with lunch, we already had the flashcard feature done. So like, it's very easy to create these tools, but the people who win are those who have the best distribution. So we've been putting out content every day or every other day. And we try to tailor it specifically to the time period. So like at the moment, we're putting a lot of videos out about role plays, but before we were putting them about exams so we can capture the audience that's specifically looking towards, you know, one aspect of DECA to study for at the moment.
Okay. And so content, is that the primary way that you're generating leads today? Or are you doing any other channels?
Yeah, I think it's split 50-50. Before it was more like 80-20 with cold DMs and content, but now it's like really shifting towards 50-50. We've been getting a lot more views recently, especially on like Instagram and TikTok. I think So for content, we're putting out these little reels and short form videos, all about, you know, our interface, and we throw in, you know, some links, and we throw pictures in to show the users. But yeah, so content on social media has been going way better for us recently. So it's definitely that 50%. We were getting a lot of leads from Reddit. As I was mentioning with like market validation in the beginning, I think right now we've been getting a lot of users come in and DM us and say, oh, I saw your comment on this specific post, or oh, I saw this post that you made. Can you also send me those resources? And then within like a day or two, we already get a sale from them, and then we're already in contact with their school. So right now, I know you mentioned, you know, some of the early revenue stats. So we have like 20 customers on, or 20 or 30 individual users just, and I think we would say 60% of them came in the last 2 weeks. And then schools-wise, we've locked in two schools, and we're in the talks with a couple more. And we're looking to even, you know, talk to states potentially, and see if we can supply the entire state organization and all the schools that fall underneath.
In states, by the way, they reached out to us. It was actually pretty interesting. Like, I mean, we realized that LinkedIn is actually pretty good distribution as well. Because Rishi, you know, he just made a post, like an intro post for Prillo, and it got, I think, like 100 likes or something. And we got, you know, multiple different of the state representatives for these DECA organizations in the states actually like contacting us on LinkedIn and, you know, asking about the software.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I mean, the content stuff you guys are doing is really remarkable. You know, I think with content, you sometimes only see what's working. I'm curious, what have you tried that didn't land the way you expected, right? Are there any channels? Are there any, maybe even types of short form video that like a format that didn't work? Like, yeah, how are you learning about, you know, let's do more of this, let's do less of this? What does that look like?
Yeah, so we kind of like just got started with content. We've been posting a lot of videos about the interface and the specific features. But then me and Timmy started like looking on Instagram and looking at other different startups, maybe in similar niches. And we were seeing that a lot of these startups that are putting out reels do like memes, and they kind of like relate that to what you're studying for. So like if there's like a meme that's like in trend, like that's trending right now, we would like kind of use that to, you know, like appeal to the user. And that also has been performing better. Just like 2 or 3 days ago, Timmy made a, like a quick little reel on like Canva, and then we downloaded and then we posted it. It got like, I think like 500 views in the first hour. So that worked way better compared to the other posts that we were making specific to features. Those also performed well, but I think we're seeing that like mixing around content style has worked a lot. And then also, you know, appealing to the trends that are happening right now in terms of what are people watching.
Got it. That makes sense. With Reddit, you know, the thing I've heard is, and tell me if you've seen this, that you can be, folks can be kind of temperamental if it feels like you're spamming the subreddit. So
yeah,
what have you found there to sort of be valuable but still also promote Prillo? Any sort of tips or tricks on how to navigate Reddit?
Yeah, so for Reddit also, a lot of the like moderators of these subreddits are against promotion. So it's like very hard to specifically like just throw out a post into a specific subreddit without getting flagged or taken down. So DMs have worked. I think another thing is Discord. That's also working pretty well. But for Reddit, it's a lot of the users aren't online as much. So it's like conversations can be stretched across days, even though it should take minutes. That takes a lot of time. And, you know, they have a lot of issues that it's hard to keep jumping at over and over again. Yeah, I think Reddit, we're kind of starting to move away from that, and we're going into TikTok and Instagram, those, and YouTube as well. You know, all three are working pretty well. And then we also want to mess around with like longer form videos as well, and see, you know, see where that leads us.
All right. So with Prillo, you've talked about sort of going to individuals. is the customer, in your view, the student, or is it the teacher or coach? You know, and have you, are you seeing any mix right now in terms of who is becoming a customer?
Yeah. So for customers, we're looking at both individual students, but we're kind of like leveraging that to get leads for schools. So we would sell the individual licenses for like $5 to $7. And what we would do is try to get state officers to buy these licenses so then they can forward the message or forward the idea of Prillo to their advisor, their club advisor. And so these club advisors maybe get interested and want to set up a call with us. We've had this happen maybe twice as of right now, which have led to one partnership, which is one of the schools that we have on right now. Our customer primarily right now that we're focusing on is definitely individuals, and maybe going out to schools and states later on once this DECA season's over, or once we jump into the states round or internationals round.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot easier to sell this software if, you know, maybe 5 or 10% of your club already has an individual license. And we've found that, you know, people like the product, people are happy with it. And so they want to tell their chapter advisors because they want their whole chapter to have this, because then they're more likely to win, because it's like a tool that helps you, you know, study a lot more than you would be able to normally and more effectively.
Okay. So. And how are you gauging that happiness, right? Like, are you, what's the process by which you're assessing that, you know, customers are actually liking the product?
Yeah. So we have a Discord that we have linked to our interface. So any user that has any issues or, you know, has any feedback can join on our Discord. And then we have like, you know, a couple channels that we have linked, whether it be questions, bugs, and, you know, routinely we send out messages asking if anyone has any feedback or if they have any questions that they would like to ask us. And then we DM our users sometimes. We talk to them, ask them what they're kind of feeling. And we have a couple testimonials that we've hooked up onto our site as well. I think the people who are the most satisfied are the ones who are most likely to show it to their advisor. And I would say like, we would have like 6 or 7, maybe 7 or 8 schools that have shown this to their advisor. But closing schools is a whole different realm. I think the CTSO budgets for many schools is minimal. So we're really experimenting with that right now.
Okay. Yeah. I think there's, for the folks listening, what Timmy and Rishi are doing is really smart, right? I think sometimes folks get bogged down in like we're selling to schools. And then Rishi made a really good point earlier, which is schools have these budget cycles. And if you miss it, now you got to wait till next year. And so, you know, like August to now, they've built a product, launched it, and gotten customers. And part of that is that they've just not been like a fixed mindset on like selling to one group, and they're kind of skating to where the money is, which is like absolutely what you should do, like a great bias to action. So, awesome, awesome work. You guys are both like really entrepreneurial. You're in these communities. I'm curious, like, are there entrepreneurs that you look up to or folks that have helped you build this business? You know, who's in the, you know, the Mount Rushmore of great entrepreneurs that you really like?
So I think for me, I'm a big fan of like Elon Musk's work. I think there's just so many like just super useful like kind of Elon Musk quotes. And I think they're not as well presented as like, you know, something Naval Ravikant would say, who's like famously like a very like a well-spoken entrepreneur. But yeah, I think there's like a lot of wisdom to, you know, Elon Musk's businesses and a lot of his like practices and things that he says that I think are really useful when you like kind of go deep into it. You know, other entrepreneurs that have helped me a lot, obviously my parents. I mean, it's really useful to have someone that you can like ask questions to and who can kind of like direct you in the right direction to, you know, help you learn some things. So
yeah, I think for me, like specific to our business, because we are like selling to educational institutions, I think Tyler Bosmany has like been a big inspiration of mine. I watched his like one of the videos that I saw was like on the Y Combinator YouTube channel. It was like how to sell, right? And so when I opened it, I thought it was just going to be like a general video, but like luckily it was very specific towards what we were building. You know, and I really like he was talking about continuously following up with your customers, and it's like it seems like unconventional to continuously like bug, like it seems like you're bugging the customer when you keep following up with them. But he talks a lot about that. I really like how he approaches selling to institutions. So he's one guy I look up to. And then also like the founder of Duolingo. He is really good. I really like how he like scaled this consumer app. And it's awesome how he like really attacks the pain points that users have. And that's like another thing we want to do with Prillo as well.
And another entrepreneur that I like actually is Noah Kagan. I think I read his book Million Dollar Weekend, which is like a really great starting point for people who want to get into entrepreneurship, because it provides you with like, one of the main things that I learned from him is that a lot of the most productive times are when you have like real set time constraints. So, you know, that really helps me a lot with my productivity and my like daily life. You know, at the start of the week, I can like plan out what assignments I need to do. I can estimate an amount of time, and then I can actually just use the timer on Google to make sure that I am like on task. And that really helps you with keeping track of time. It also gamifies it. So it's like, oh, I can get this done, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes in advance, and then I can, you know, finish my day a bit earlier. And also, Million Dollar Weekend is like start a business in a weekend, you know, like get your first revenue, set up pre-orders, all this stuff. And that's really helpful because the time constraint of like a weekend is like you're always focused because you know you have to get it done before you go to work on Monday or go to school on Monday.
Yeah, I love it. I think there's two good books for those listening. There's The Mom Test Rishi mentioned by Rob Fitzpatrick, and then Noah's book is also excellent, Million Dollar Weekend. Those are great. All right, so let's talk again about Prillo. What's the, you know, are you guys the only game in town? What's the competitive landscape for sort of software that helps folks in these DECA competitions?
Yeah, for sure. So there are a couple other, you know, competitors that we have, but no one's utilizing AI the way that we are. I think a lot of people are starting to hop the train for AI, but our niche is so like specific with CTSOs that there are not a lot of game players in the CTSO market. You know, we want to make sure that with our tool, we can actually guarantee people reaching their goals. I think one of the main reasons people join DECA itself is apart from having fun and learning outside of school, it's also for college admissions. A lot of people want to get that award or honor that's on their college application. And, you know, the best way to win, I feel like, is with our tool because we are allowing you to, you know, study right from your device, right at home, and not rely on anyone else to help you with your studying.
Yeah, and I think would be a really great partner for DECA. Our goal is to bring this software to every DECA student. You know, we want to build the AI tools that are going to, you know, help them succeed, help them get as much practice as they want, help them get the feedback they need, and, you know, help them, you know, we have tools for like time management and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think if anybody from DECA is listening, right, you've got two young entrepreneurs, which I think is what DECA tries to inspire. You got Rishi, who's gone through DECA, so they've kind of seen, or who was in it, so they've kind of firsthand seen the pain points about preparing. So, you know, the DECA team, whoever that is, like you should be talking to Timmy and Rishi about how you can make this available to, I think, as many DECA students as soon as possible. Like, you know, this is, you know, the kind of the future is AI. Let's talk about where you guys want to go with this, right? I think DECA is like this really interesting, you know, what folks might call a wedge product, right? It's like a way to build relationships with schools, build relationships with a certain community of sort of high achieving students and their teachers. Yeah, and you're still like maybe at the ground floor of that. So it's not to say that DECA is there's still not a ton of opportunity there, but I'm curious, like, what's the vision for Prillo? You know, you didn't name it DECA AI, you named it Prillo. So clearly it's something bigger. You know, I'm curious, like, you know, where are we going with this?
So I think our end goal
is to like provide as much value as possible to students. And DECA is like a good kind of first place to start because there's almost 300,000 DECA students. And the current practice tools aren't really hopping on the AI trend and they're not satisfying for some students. And I think Prolo really helps with that. But yeah, I mean, our end goal is to, you know, maybe get into the, me and Rishi talked about this earlier. We're excited to reveal this, but Prolo is also working on a tool for AP classes. And me and Rishi have been working on this for some time. Rishi, by the way, he didn't mention this when he was talking about school, but he's taking 6 APs this year and 15 total, which is like more than I could ever imagine. So, I mean, yeah, we have some pretty deep experience in this. But yeah, I mean, our goal is to get into APs. We're working on an AP practice platform that helps students review with flashcards, quizzes, an almost instant AI tutor to help you out, and an analytics platform that actually shows you how well you've done in various units over time by practice. This was actually something I was going to build this for myself either way. No matter if this was for Prolo or not, because I think it's so important for me to have being able to see my progress over time. Yeah, so I mean, if you're interested in that, just go to prolo.ai/AP and we'll have a form for you to beta test it.
Okay, amazing. So yeah, you guys are really thinking about this intelligently. So I mean, I think a couple takeaways for entrepreneurs, and then I want to actually get your guys' advice to entrepreneurs. But one, incredible bias to action. I think you guys have heard that. Play around with AI tools. You know, really interesting product that reaches, you know, that solves a pain that these guys have sort of acutely felt on their own, right? And so I think they're kind of domain experts, right? And so when we talk to young entrepreneurs, we're all often saying, like, just start making a list of problems because all those problems could be opportunities. And, you know, whether it was Timmy talking about AP exams or Rishi talking about DECA, like, they both kind of in their lives face these and now they're building products for those. So that's really, really great. Somebody's hearing this. They're like inspired. They love the content. They love what you're building. They're like want to learn how to code. There's like so many different things they can do. Where should a young entrepreneur or young aspiring entrepreneur, if you had to give yourself advice 3, 4, 5 years ago, like where should they get started?
My advice is, work on a project. Projects are really, really fun to do. Just go in your notes app, write down like, you know, 5 or 10 ideas that you're passionate about. If you don't have anything, then just think of what bothers you in your daily life or ask other people what bothers them in their daily life. I would just write down those ideas. I would maybe, you know, consult with ChatGPT on like methods to solve these problems, whether it's, you know, making a web app, you know, making an application, making, I don't know, whatever, some API or something. Doesn't matter. But just write down your ideas. And then I would, you know, and it sounds odd to say, but I would really just Google your way to success here or ChatGPT your way to success now. I think there's so much you can learn from the internet. And I think, you know, when we ask our parents about this stuff, it's like they don't realize that Gen Z is and Gen Y too are going to do 10,000 times more than all previous generations combined because of the amount of tools and leverage that we're able to get through the internet. So yeah, I would definitely just, you know, work on some project that excites you. I'd learn coding. I'll learn, you know, marketing, just learn all those skills.
Yeah, I think Timmy mentioned a really great point. Like he was saying, write down 5 things that you're passionate about. That's really important because I think you have to, I feel like one thing that I really like to say is you should be a user of your own product. That, you know, one thing that I do myself is hop on Prolo almost every other day just to study myself. And I think it gives you insights to grow your business more and more. And another thing is like, try to enter a business from like a unique perspective. That might sound like a cliche, but what we're doing with Prolo is, you know, go into CTSOs, but we also want to go into different verticals going down the line. So if we establish our name with Prolo and have success in the CTSO market, we can use it as like a pedestal to give ourselves like a leg up in other markets like AP exams, SAT prep. So we're thinking like for the long game, you know, using and attacking like a super niche market can give us really, really good leverage for more saturated markets like SAT prep.
Yeah. And like DECA is so much in demand that it's not that hard to establish a relationship with a school or a student. And then, you know, once we get, or we have our AP software, we're just getting feedback on it and, you know, improving it. But when we have that, then we can reach out to the school again and see like, say like, hey, you know, we built this tool for DECA. You like it a lot because, you know, we're always talking to them. We make sure they like it a lot. Now we have this other thing for APs and we have this other thing for other career technical student organizations like FBLA.
Got it. Yeah, that's great. So one, congrats on what you've built. You know, you got the Formidable Fellowship grant of $1,000 that might let you do some experiments that you weren't able to do before. I'm curious if you know where you're going to invest that.
Yeah. So I think one area we definitely want to pour into and experiment with is marketing. That's for sure. I think like running ads on TikTok and Instagram is like really, really useful because it can allow you to like attack a specific group of, you know, watchers on these platforms. You can like attract a specific audience. And we really want to like experiment with that. And then also like growing product. I think we can make our, you know, our AI analysis from the tutor or from the role play score like 10 times better. And we can even add like video scoring and all of that with, you know, some of these funds from the grant money. And that would be super, super useful towards like for propelling our product even more and making a bigger name for ourselves.
Okay, amazing. So if folks want to learn about the AP product or the DECA product, where should they go and follow you guys?
So if you're interested in the DECA product, I would just go to our website, Prilo.ai. That's Prilo.ai. And if you're interested in testing out our new product for APs, which has, you know, we have an AI chatbot that's near instant. We have analytics, so you can see how well you've done over time. You know, it's available on mobile. It's tons of stuff that I actually like built for myself to practice for my AP computer science class. I've been using it these past couple of days and it's awesome. Then, you know, you can beta test it. Just go to prilo.ai/AP, you know, where you can find us just at Timmy McKeegan on Twitter. You know, I'm pretty active on there. If you have a question, you can just DM me.
Yeah. And then on all social media platforms, our handle is TryPrillo. So you can just find us there and then see what we're building.
Cool. Yeah. I think, you know, even if you're not in the market for a DECA product, you know, check out what Rishi and Timmy are doing at TryPrillo, you know, from a content perspective, because I think they're learning a lot in real time. So you could probably look back at what they did 2 or 3 weeks ago and what they're doing today, and you'll probably see an evolution that's happening quite quickly. So yeah, I think there's a lot to learn from what you guys have built. So yeah, congrats. You guys are an inspiration, great work, and thanks for making some time. Okay, cool. So, all right, we're not done yet, actually. So, Nick, you sent these guys the hooks